and he's not sure about it. So it's not that it's a serious surgery, it's just that it's very painful. And I don't get to go home this time for her surgery, so just pray for my mom and my dad. So if you know, she just recovered from her other hip replacement, so just pray for my mom. Are there others? If not, could you bow your heads for a moment of silence? Amen. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading. If you could turn in your hymnals to page 491. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Turn your hymns now, please, and stand, and let's sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Hymn 529. 529.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus! How I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father had in store for every day. sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Let's sing that chorus one more time without your books. Everybody knows this. And just a little smile wouldn't hurt.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Lord God, thank You for loving us and teaching us all about love. Thank You for helping us in our love. First to You, to Your Son Jesus Christ, and to our fellow man. Lord, Your Word tells us over and over to love one another and to love You. And tells us how much You love us. And we just stand in awe. And we come to thank You and offer praise. Lord God, just to say, we appreciate You. And we love You too. Thank You. Praise be unto You. In the name of Jesus, who showed that love. Now praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. If you want to look in your hymnal, it is page 716, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Turn in your hymnals again, please, to hymn 399. 399, Higher Ground. Let's sing the first and last. First and last stanzas.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray, till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
And 524, I think it was, for we are learning. Or sing a new song. That does sound better, doesn't it? Sing a new song. Play through that for us, please. It took a miracle.
Of the service, we always pray for others who either pray for those who need a prayer, praises we heard this morning. Now we come to the time where we come one-on-one with God about ourselves, confessing our sin. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned. Could you bow your heads for a moment of confession? Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Amen. We now express thanks to God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Lord God, we are thankful. We express it various ways. But Lord, sometimes we feel like the nine who fail to return to Jesus because we take so much for granted. Today we're reminded of your love to us, your gifts to us, your blessings upon our life. We say thank you. You have asked us to return a portion of our material blessings to promote the gospel. Thank you for that privilege of having enough not only to give but on which to live. In Christ Jesus. Amen.
Couple things before we begin. No, that's fine, Sam. You can get up. A couple things is, and I didn't mention in the announcement, is we did get our last stained glass window in. So I think that's wonderful. Now, Larry, you've got a roof over your new office at least.
Huh?
Oh, you're not going to take one of these offices?
No, but it's only the floor above a ceiling, no roof.
Well, it's in the dry.
Is it? Well,
kind of.
We'll
so,
be good.
So I think from last Sunday to this Sunday, a lot of work got done.
Oh,
I think it's wonderful. So we're thankful for that.
But it is at least the ceiling over.
Yeah. So Joyce could move you on out now if she wanted to.
Now we have a little song.
I think we better get on with it too. Hymn 414. Let's do the first verse only. 414.
Come on to me and rest. Let glad.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning will be read by Nikki Naren. Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The word of God for the people of God.
I was asked to kind of give a report on Carol, and she is fine. She passed me at church this morning, so she did everything this week but cut the grass, and I think it was she couldn't get the mower started or something. So something like that, anyway. And Teresa and I are going to have a class in construction. Yeah, construction. I have been watching a lot. I've been watching a whole lot. A lot has happened. You may wonder, he preached on that scripture 2 weeks ago. Well, I may preach on it next week too. And that's only a may. That's not a commitment. Discovering the great prize of life. We talked about 2 weeks ago about the importance, the value of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, if you're reading Matthew. Matthew uses the word heaven, kingdom of heaven, and Luke uses the word kingdom of God. We were talking about the same thing. Or they were talking about the same thing. And we talked about the worth. How much it's worth. And we see Jesus telling us how much it's worth. Two individuals he talked about. The kingdom of God is worth more than everything they had. Today, let's talk about, or think about, discovering the kingdom of God. It's not hidden, we might point out, but sometimes we look right over it and don't see it. But in these illustrations, they kind of illustrate that the kingdom of God might be, to some at least, hidden. There are a lot of suggestions that need to approach this passage from another angle, and that's what I might do next week. Still, that's one of those things I'm contemplating and meditating upon and praying about. The church. We're part of a church because we're here this morning. And the church is not just another club. There's a bunch of clubs around. The 20s, I guess, many of them came into existence. One that I'm a part of came into existence in the 20s. Another one came into popularity, I guess, in the 1800s. Others are more recent. How many clubs have you been a member of? The 4-H Club, the Mosleys have participated in that program. I participated in that program. How many others were members of the 4-H Club somewhere along the way? Nolensville. Okay. Nolensville has a 4-H Club organization. The U.S. government sponsors it. The Future Farmers of America. If you went to my high school, you were a future farmer, whether you wanted to be or not. I mean, that was a requirement. The U.S. government paid that teacher's salary or a portion of it,
And he made sure, somehow, he had enough clout that he made sure that we all were in agricultural classes and members of the FFA. A blue corduroy jacket with bright yellow writing all over it. I may still have mine somewhere. Pete, do you have yours? Something happened to it. But the church, I say all that to say the church is not just another club. There's a bunch of clubs. The church is not just another organization, though sometimes it looks that way. The church is God's club. It's in a sense a club, but it's God's club. A club made up of God's people, organized and established by His Son. That's the New Testament version of it, but there was God's club back in the Old Testament. Those Israelites and those who would come into the fold and be proselyted. The purpose of God's club is to bring people into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And all else that the God's club does is pointing to that, or is supposed to. Sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we forget where we're going. Sometimes we forget what we're doing and what we're supposed to be doing. But that's the ultimate goal, to bring people into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the Christian church, the Christian God's club. It, the church. But it's not an it, it's a she. Paul talked about it being the bride of Christ. The church in the world today. She is the continuing work of Jesus in the world. You've heard it said more than once. God has no hands but your hands. He has no mouth but your mouth. He has no feet but your feet. God has chosen to use people. Wow, what an honor. But what a responsibility. Can we do it? He's chosen to use us to bring people into His club, if you will. Into God's club. Into fellowship with Him. And membership in the earthly church is the earthly portion of an eternal relationship, an eternal membership that continues eternally. Everlastingly. Part of it's here on earth. That's where we join up, and when we draw our last breath, we begin our relationship with God in a new realm. We call it heaven, or often refer to it as heaven. There's an interesting aspect of the parable of the hidden, which didn't stay hidden, which became the found. So do you call this the hidden treasure or the found treasure? The hidden / found treasure. Interesting aspect of this parable, real short parable, and also the parable of the pearl of great price. Especially when you consider them together, and that's what we did 2 weeks ago, and that's what I want you to do today. And that interesting aspect is that it reveals to us, or shows us, kind of makes it pretty clear to us that everyone doesn't discover the kingdom or the great prize. That's what we're calling membership in the kingdom. Everyone doesn't discover it the same. We are different personalities. And God reveals Himself in various ways to different people. And we make our discovery or our entrance into the club of God or God's club differently. And this parable points it out. We're not all cut out of the same
with the same cookie cutter. Because see, we're more than cookies. God, Christ, comes to different people in different ways and in different situations. Think about it. How did God reveal Himself to you? What was the situation around it? Some have said there are no atheists in foxholes. And maybe some of you had that experience, that, you know, the bullets were flying over and you were scared out of your mind, and basically they scared the torment out of you. They scared the devil out of you. And you reached up to God. That's happened in so many instances. Think about your experience. Others have been sitting in a church. And I may have been there for the first time, but some may have been there for years and years and years, and finally, the Spirit got through. Sometimes we resist the Spirit, see? And it never gets through. And it all falls into place. And the pieces of the puzzle begin to fit in our mind, at least. What was your situation when you discovered the great prize of eternity? The great prize of life. All of life. Here on earth and after our life on this earth. Where were you? Or what was the situation surrounding where God became so real to you? And He became so compelling to you that you became a part of His kingdom. Some people may say they couldn't resist. I still have some steps along the way that I remember very vividly when it seemed that I could not resist that initial step. I wanted to be a Christian at about 11 years old. I wanted to be saved from the fiery pit. The everlasting burning, that's part of the Bible, and that's what I heard. And that I didn't want to die and go that way. I wanted to go to heaven to be with Jesus, wherever that was. But then along the way, there were other steps, and it became so real that I had to take that step also. One of them being when I committed myself to the ministry of the gospel, of sharing the gospel. Think about it. You know, it may be that you haven't taken that step yet. It may be that God is still dealing with you and the puzzle doesn't fit, or there's some missing pieces maybe. Maybe He is even today calling and urging you, challenging you. I challenge you, invite you, urge you to be open to the Spirit, God's Spirit. Your call from God may be like someone else's call, or it may not be like someone else's call. Your call from God in your discovering and your uniting in fellowship with God may be unique to you. Because see, God was careful enough to make us all unique beings. None of us are just alike, are we? All that DNA. Didn't hear much about that till 15, 20 years ago. And everybody's different there. I thought, well, everybody's fingerprints are different. And they are. So, maybe your relationship with God and how it started or how it is now is unique to you. The finder of the treasure found the treasure as he went about his daily activity, or so it seems. Now, I did read somewhere that people even went now and searched in some of the Middle Eastern lands, and possibly it could be some found in Civil War land where there were Civil War battles or battles close by where a treasure was buried. But this passage indicates what little Jesus said anyway. He didn't say that that was his business. He said, I can visualize the guy plowing in a field, possibly following an ox. That's my vision. It doesn't really say that, but I can visualize him. That's the way it is. My imagination allows me to do this. A farmer plowing in the field and plowing up the treasure. We might say that he stumbled upon it. I had a ring once, and it was a little too big for my finger, and something was happening. I was swinging my hands like this, and I lost the ring. And when I went to look for it, I looked and looked and looked and looked where I thought I had thrown that ring. And it was a yellow gold ring, and it had fallen in yellow gold leaves. And I scratched the leaves around, and maybe we'd even rake the leaves, I'm not sure. There wasn't that many there, but there were some still on the ground. And I looked and looked and looked and could not find it. I even had Charles Strasser to bring his little metal detector from the water company to come over there and help me look for that ring in our backyard. I knew it was right in that little bitty section with cement all around it except the house on the other side. And I called him, and he was coming over, and I walked out, and there was just a little bit of snow on the ground, and it was white. Of course, snow is white, unless it's brown or something. Yellow, something. But then it gets sooty sometimes. Sooty, okay. And I walked out, and there that yellow gold ring was in contrast. I stumbled over that ring. Now, I had looked and looked and looked and looked and couldn't find it. And now, oftentimes, I'll lose something and I'll say, not going to look for it, just going to walk around like this. And every once in a while, I find what it is I've lost. Anyhow, I can see him stumbling over the treasure. And when he found it, he recognized its value. He recognized that it was worth more than all else that he owned. So he sells all that he has and buys the field. And therefore, when he bought the field, he bought the treasure because it was in the field. That's how important being in the kingdom of God is. It's worth more than all else that we own. Once Jesus asked the question, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the obvious answer, to me at least, is he hasn't profited anything. It's nothing. If he's lost his soul, he's lost it all. The finder of the pearl found the pearl of great price as he was looking for pearls. That was his challenge. That was his goal in life. That was his business, it looks like. He was looking for pearls. And I'm sure in the back of his mind somewhere, he kept thinking, or I can imagine that at least, there's one out there that I really want above all other pearls. He was a pearl merchant, so it appears. And he was looking for pearls, and he came across this one pearl that surpassed them all. That was his goal. He wanted to discover that super valuable pearl. And he did. And he sold all that he had, and he bought it. He recognized its worth and gave up all else for it. So one man was going about his daily life, possibly plowing in a field, a dirt poor farmer, and the other was a a pearl merchant. Probably dressed much better than the farmer. A little easier work. I've been out in the field. Some examples, if you will. I want you to think about Gideon. What have you thought about Gideon? Last time the Gideons came and spoke at the church, been a long time here. Gideon heard and responded to God's call as he went about his daily task. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and following. So Gideon was one of the judges before Israel had kings. Gideon was threshing wheat, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him to lead Israel to redemption, to overthrow the Midianites. And he did. Of course, Gideon argued, "God, I can't do it." But God said, "Oh yes, you can. I need you." God kept after him. And when God finally convinced him, and Gideon finally said yes, God used Gideon mightily in leading Israel to overthrow the bondage. The Midianites were mean to them. Another often used example, I probably quote him almost every Sunday, is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was going along doing bad things. He was going along fighting the church. He was going along on his way to arrest people who believed in Jesus, those who followed the way, Jesus being the way to heaven. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, Jesus said. And those who were following Jesus were called, those who followed the way are followers of the way. And Paul had papers, official papers, that he could go and arrest people if he found them worshiping Jesus or serving Jesus in any way or preaching Jesus, and take them back to Jerusalem for a trial. And what else went with that, we don't know. He was going along doing bad things, Acts chapter 9, and on that way, he had no thought of trusting Jesus and finding that pearl of great price, if you will, or finding that greatest treasure one could have. And as he went along, Jesus spoke to him. The resurrected Jesus spoke to him and called him to service, proclaiming Jesus, teaching Jesus, preaching Jesus, building individual congregations. And that's what Paul did. He went all over the Mediterranean area, establishing new congregations of Jesus' people, new congregations of followers of Jesus, new congregations of people of the way. But he met Jesus while he was going about to arrest those who were falling away, doing bad things. See, his call was unique to him. And some people say, "Well, I can't have an experience like Paul." Well, God never wanted you to have an experience like Paul. Possibly. He may. But he may not have. You're not Paul. You don't even live in the Middle East. You're not on your way to arrest Christians, are you? You don't have papers from the authorities. So our situation is different. And God speaks to us in our situation, wherever we are. So Paul the Apostle, the fishermen that Jesus called to be His first disciples, they were just rough old fishermen out in their boats or coming in from their boats, working on their nets. Peter, James, John, Andrew. And their call was different than that of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, really an enemy of his own country people, because he was working for the higher ups that were often wrong. He was collecting the taxes for them.
And Jesus came by and said, "Hello, Matthew, come and go with me." And Matthew, he was just sitting there kind of waiting for other people to come. And Jesus came and he realized that that was the pearl of great price, that he needed to chuck it all to follow Jesus. The jailer at Philippi. His situation was different. Paul was there with him and Silas. Acts chapter 16. He was at work in a jail. And then the jail fell apart. That's what it says, isn't it? The jail fell apart. Earthquake came and the doors came open. He was there in the jail. He was running around about to kill himself because he didn't want to face the music that was coming. And he said, "What can I do to save my own neck?" But he got saved for eternity. They led him to Jesus. He discovered Jesus to save his own neck to start with. But him and his household committed to the Lord. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is the other example. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. He had heard about him. He knew something was important there. Jesus was coming to town. Zacchaeus, the little man that couldn't see over the crowd, so he goes and climbs up in a tree. The song says a sycamore tree. Did I say sign or song? The song says sycamore tree, if I said sign. See, that's an example of one like the pearl merchant. He was seeking. He wanted to know about this Jesus. He knew that he was of value. And what a blessed day it was and how it changed his life to know Jesus. Jesus went home with him. Some stumble upon Jesus. Others seek him. But Jesus receives all who come to him. Jesus said in John 6, 37 is the verse, that those who come to him, he will cast none away. He'll receive all who come to him. Romans 6, chapter 6 of Romans, verse 10, quotes Isaiah 65, verse 1. And in Isaiah 65, verse 1, Isaiah is speaking God's word to the Israelites. And hear this. I reveal, God is speaking through Isaiah. God says, I reveal myself to those who did not ask for me, and I was found by those who did not seek me. Some just stumbled over him. But when they met him, they knew what it was. That God was important, the most important thing. How did you discover the kingdom of God? Or how did you meet Jesus? That's what we really want to talk about. Was it all in a day's activity and somewhere in that day that you met him, like Paul? Or were you seeking him and found him? Or maybe someone came to you on his behalf looking for you. Maybe he was seeking you. Maybe he was seeking you. Friends, if you're not a part of the kingdom, God's kingdom, maybe your presence here today is an indication that you are seeking to be a part of his kingdom, that you're seeking Jesus. And you can become a member of the kingdom of God by acknowledging that you need a Savior and trusting Jesus to save you. 484 is the number. We get ready to sing it. Who is on the Lord's side? Kind of a marching song, if you will, or maybe a foot stomping song. But it's a call. It's a call to become a member of God's club, or to get on God's side, or to join up with God through your faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing all the verses. There are four of them. We'll sing them all. Who is on the Lord's side? We are on the Lord's side. 484.
Yeah. I'm
city for God. For God. And they kept sitting there and sitting there. We were packing up. Yesterday, he stopped my name and he said, "Man, here's a problem." I said, "Yeah, I've been sold about 5 times. God said, "Yeah, man, that everybody wants to go." So, yeah, we made it 7, $9, 6. Should pay your church. So, like I said, Richard Lincoln goes to the hospital. We still got some nice stuff that can sell. But especially the high dollar stuff. Steve Carden has been here in church. He got a piece of custom church and he's been going with him. And he brought a fish pie to try to sell. And $75, that's a pretty high dollar item for the yard sale. Two or three people looked at it.
The right person is the one to
do it. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. We have several things like that. So there's somebody that wants that, and they just have to buy it.